Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mathis Media Hub Radio. Today's guest is Bill Sorvino. He was born and raised in New Jersey. New Jersey honed his acting craft on stages and in films throughout New York and L.A., starting his career, entertainment career, as a signed singer-songwriter. He surged into acting when he attended William Esper Studio, named by the Hollywood Reporter as one of the top 25 drama schools in the world, undergoing the rigorous two-year acting program. His studies continued with renowned acting coach John DiPolito, refining his skills in character development, script analysis, and scene study. Nephew of legendary actor Paul Sorvino and cousin to Academy Award-winning actress Myra Sorvino, Bill has established himself as an award-winning and critically lauded actor in his own right. He recently signed a management and distribution contract with Kismet Media Group with his production company Rebirth Entertainment. Named for one of the 50 most influential people in Hudson County in 2013 and 14, Bill is the founder of the Golden Door International Film Festival. His ongoing mission is to entertain and inspire, as well as help facilitate aspiring actors and filmmakers the opportunity to screen their films in the celebratory way typically reserved for Hollywood elite. So we're waiting for Bill to call in. And in the meantime, you know, Bill has been in a lot of interesting movies. I love Myra Sorvino, and I've followed her as an actress for some time now. So we're waiting for Bill to call in, and when he does, we will talk about his life and how he got started in the acting business. And we'll talk about the Golden Door Entertainment that he is involved with at this time and a lot of other stuff. So I can't wait until he gets in. I also want to ask him about the method acting and, you know, that whole process of acting that actors do go through. So we'll talk about that for a little while as well. So in the meantime, we will go to commercial and we will be right back. Hold on.
Here is a well-documented fact. Humans spend approximately 33% of life in bed. That's a good reason to consider bringing your bed into the 21st century with Function All Linens. They'll change your bedtime forever. Designed for every kind of bedtime you can imagine, these fun and functional bed sheets have his and her side pockets that hold pretty much everything but the kitchen sink. The pockets allow you to have your cell phone, iPad, remotes, and anything else you need within your fingertips' reach at all times. No more cluttered nightstands. No more fumbling around in the dark. Simply reach for your pocket. Experience the affordable comfort and pure luxury that only Function All Linens can offer. For more information or to order, visit functionall-linens.com or beddazzle.com.
All right, you're listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio. And, you know, as I was telling you when we first came on, we have actor Bill Sorvino in the house. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you doing? I was just going over your wonderful career, all the great things that you're doing now, and people are waiting to listen to how you got started, how you got in the acting business, or when did the bugs start to hit you, you know, all that good stuff.
Okay, well, so I was a musician, singer-songwriter with bands and stuff like that for a lot of years, and had some minor successes. Used to play all around the New York, New Jersey area, And I got signed to a small record label with my writing partner. And, you know, we had a couple of songs. We had one song which Paul McCartney's record or publishing company was going to take and put it into a Disney movie. Yeah, so we were very close to making it, you know, and
wow,
it something didn't happen, and I got really frustrated, and I kind of pulled away from that.
So what happened was I've
always been an entertainer, so to speak. You know, I was on stage and, you know, singing and playing guitar and all that stuff. I even played drums in another band. You know, so for years and years I was doing that. Yeah, so I'm a creative by nature. So what happened was my daughter was born that same year, and I was frustrated and I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my daughter was born, and I just knew that I had to do something just huge. I just wanted to do something huge.
Yeah.
And I spent the weekend with my uncle, Paul Sorvino, you know, and Mira Sorvino and her husband. And, and they were with us, and we were all together in the house for a long weekend down the Jersey Shore. And, they were talking about acting and, the whole weekend, because Chris Mira's husband was going up for a big role and stuff like that. And that's when the bug actually hit me. Those circumstances that presented themselves. And it made so much sense to me in just a flash. And then I started going. I went to William Esper Studio, and within a few months from that time, back in '06, and that was a two-year program. And then I did another I think 9 months with a great teacher in New York City called John Dappolito. He has a program called Actors, Where Are You Going? It's like a master's class. You know, there's several different components to it, and you have to really, you know, it's all about script analysis and breaking down the character and story arc, you know, very in-depth master's training. So that's
right.
You know, and since then I've been piecing together my career.
Wow. And so now I know John Dappolino's master class. Now, the one you said before that, what sort of program was that? What I'm looking for is whether or not you, what sort of method did you practice other than with John Dappolino? Because a lot of the actors, they go through different methods, and I'm always interested in what method they
I can talk about this for 4 hours, never mind half an hour. But I love it so much. I mean, it's truly one of my greatest pleasures and joys in life is acting and the actual craft of it. And so I went to William Esper Studio because my uncle trained with William Esper back in the 70s, you know, early 70s, late 60s. And William Esper trained as a teacher and my uncle also trained with Sandy Meisner. I don't know if you know that name.
Meisner,
acting. It comes from Sanford Meisner or Sandy Meisner. And he was one of there was Lee Strasberg, Sandy Meisner, Stella Adler, all these major, they all stemmed from the Russian, the name escapes me. There was a Russian method of acting, and they all, all this acting technique in America stemmed from, this is terrible that I'm not getting this name right now. Anyway, the people out there are probably talking bad about me because I can't remember. This is a very important thing. But anyway, it'll come to me later when I'm talking about something else.
It will.
So anyway, Sandy Meisner was one of those branches, and Meisner acting is his technique that he created, that he formulated from all of their experiences back in those times in the 60s. But so I also trained with him as well as William Esper, and when I decided to go into acting, I went to William Esper because, you know, of course, it makes sense for me, having been around my uncle my whole life and him having talked about, and no, I knew Bill Esper from, you know, when I was young because I'd seen him at parties and all that kind of stuff. They remained very good friends. So I went there because for me, was the only place to go. And they, and it's Meisner. It's Meisner technique. And so with Meisner technique, you use your imagination more than anything else to create the moments. Yeah. So with method acting, you go into the actual circumstances of what you're trying to portray. So if you're playing a drunk, you get drunk, you know. Or I mean, that's too simplistic of an explanation. But if you're going to play a murderer, you don't murder somebody, but you really go into, you know, the deepest, darkest parts of your mind and make yourself feel like you murdered someone, kind of thing. You know, it's a very it's psychologically a very it's more deep on the psychological level, and to some extent, it's maybe in some ways it's a different, but so, in some respects maybe sometimes better. But Meisner has its own pros as well as why it's better. So, but some of the best actors of all time were method actors, and some of the best actors were Meisner actors. But
isn't it difficult to get out of that situation if you are a method actor? And how long does it take you? Let's say that you're doing a scene where you are a psychological murderer or whatever case may be. How long does that stick with you afterwards? Or does just can you just drop it, you know, after you do the scene?
How deep are you
into it?
Well, here's the thing. I'll give you a little example. I did a film called a short film. Called Maniac back in 2013, and now I don't do method acting, but I use my Meisner acting is you use your imagination. So what if so my character in this movie, his daughter died of circumstances with a doctor, and then he messed up, and it was almost malpractice kind of situation. And I go crazy in the movie, and I seek revenge, you know, and yet I'm staying a good guy, you know. It's an interesting piece because I remain a good guy while I was being a bad guy, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Like a vigilante kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. So of course, as I just said before, my daughter was born when I decided to go into acting. So my daughter clearly means a lot to me. I have two kids, and my kids are, there's nothing that I would take a bullet, I would jump in front of a train, you know, all that kind of stuff.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, so I just imagined it was my daughter, and right there, I just, you know, and I spent about 2-3 months with it, you know, putting it into my mind so deeply. Yeah,
okay.
So
what happened was,
I put it deeply into my mind that it became a reality for me. So, unfortunately, you know, for myself in having nightmares, I had nightmares for about 3 or 4 weeks before filming and about a month or two after filming. And also, I have to say, I think I brought a little bit of method acting into it because I had a very good friend whose child died in a hospital by malpractice. They messed up really badly. And the kid was 18 months old. And it was,
God.
You know, she had like a fever, sniffles, nothing major, and they killed her, you know. I used that a lot in my, and even though it was not my child, the pain I felt for my friend.
Sure.
I think emanated into my character beyond the fact that I was using my daughter as a thinking imagination thing. It was so deeply affected. To this day, I don't like to go into that realm of that character because it was just much too deeply affected. I won several awards for it, because I so much, you know, inhabited the character. But it's tough. Psychologically, it can be very tough.
It can be tough. It sounds like it can be tough. And that sounded like a little bit of method acting, though, Bill. Because you don't do method acting, but I think you sneak it in there every once in a while, huh?
You got it.
Great.
In fact, the film that I'm in currently filming, in between two, we're in a hiatus of filming, but we'll be getting back into it in about a month. It's a romantic comedy, you know, there's a lot of dramatic elements, and you know, I have this girlfriend, and it's a la-di-da romantic, and then we go into some fighting, and you know, of course, I'm married, so of course you fight with your wife.
Right.
I just used some of that, and again, I snuck in the method act, which is, I was affected once again. I was affected by it. You know, I was psychologically a little bit, you know, worse for the wear. But, you know, everyone was saying, wow, Bill, your performance was amazing in that scene. I'm like, I guess I did method acting.
Yeah, but at least what I'm hearing is at least you take part in the characters and how they're formed. Some people just walk on set or on stage and recite the lines and make a couple of gestures and all this other, but you actually feel it internally.
That's true acting. I mean, if you, you know, if you're going to be, like I said, I went to these schools and these training that, that teaches how to do that. It's a set of skills. I guess you need to have some sort of basic talent of being, you know, I was always a kind of gregarious kind of person, always felt good in front of, you know, having a center of attention and that kind of stuff. So I was, you know, that was kind of like, I guess that's my basic talent, you know. So then, but then you need a set of skills to be able to translate that into a performance. And what I learned what to do was to do those things that makes me live in the character instead of just kind of, like you said, recite some lines and make some gestures or as they
that's
say,
right.
you know, that, I don't want them to catch me acting ever because, you know, you're living. You're supposed to be living truthfully in imaginary circumstances. And
but not only that, the audience doesn't want to catch you acting. Because
that's right.
That's why we pay to go see. I mean, we want to be
Correct.
Convinced.
My
we
job.
Want to be, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So I
That's
I
my
love
job.
It.
So, yeah. So, yeah. I spend at least this role that I'm doing now, I spent 3 months just every single day ruminating over this guy, you know, this person that who's not me. And it's definitely much more superficial than that. The other maniac was, but there's definitely some deeper parts. And I, spent 3 months just trying to make this guy me, you know, make this person, I want to be that person. When I walk into that set, you know, all day long, every day of that set, I'm that person. My uncle says, if you think you need 3 months to prepare a character, you need 6 months. If you think you need 6 months, you need a year. That was one of his very good pearls of wisdom that he's given me over the years. So I take that to heart.
Wow, you should, because your uncle, oh my God.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Savino, one of the best. You better believe it. And when I go to the theater or when I've gone to, you know, to see him, it's like, wow, he just popped off the screen.
He pops off everything he does.
He
does. He's in, that guy pops off of every piece that he's in. There's no question
That's
about
right.
it.
And so does your cousin. So does my
relative,
so,
sure.
you know. So
Absolutely.
It runs in a family. There you go. I think that's terrific. Now, tell me about Golden Door International Film Festival.
You're
the founder. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I founded it, and I had the idea back in 2010. I literally had a dream. It's like sleeping. Mm-hmm. I had a dream that I had this film festival, and the next day I woke up, and I remembered my dream, and I was like, huh, interesting.
Wow.
And it so happened that I was going to a party where there was going to be a bunch of I had a dream that I had this film festival in Jersey City. Sorry, I didn't add that part. So I was at a party. The next day I was at a party that so happened to have a lot of the old Jersey City clan, you know, in that party, you know, politically connected people and all these people, old friends from the neighborhood, you know. And I brought it up and everybody was like, oh, my God, great idea. We should have I can put you in touch with this one. Before you knew it, I was in touch with like 10, 15 people all around the city,
wow.
you know, the mayor, this person, that person.
Wow.
And everybody loved it because it was ripe for the situation. And, you know, so we kicked it off in 2011, October 2011. And we, you know, so we're on our fifth year. And this year we're kind of exploding. Thank goodness. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
And it's an international film festival. So you have films from
all over the world. We have people coming in from every year. Last year, it was the first year that we had it. We've always had a few people come in from around the world. Last year, we had people come in from, I don't know, about 10 different, I mean, countries that you never heard of. Came.
Really?
I had to send out letters to their consulate so they're allowed to leave the country. Like major, crazy stuff that I never even knew existed because, you know, we're in like America, you know, so.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
You know, but we have films from think about this year. I think we have about 17 or 20 countries outside of America, outside of the United States, this year's film festival. And yeah, so I'm getting all the emails. I need a letter. You know, and we're happy to give it to them. But yeah, we're good.
When is
all
the film festival? Did it take place already, or when does it take place?
No, September 24th till the 27th. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to have you there. Come out.
Maybe do a little
radio piece on it. You know, like the live.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
that'd be nice.
Okay, so Kismet Media Group. So you just joined, or you recently signed a management and distribution contract with Kismet, and production company Rebirth Entertainment. So your production company Rebirth, what are some of the things that you guys have produced?
Well, we haven't produced anything yet, but we have about four or five projects in the works. We have one project that's been out to about six or seven different networks. Studios, stuff like that, Amazon, Netflix, USA, you know, several different things. It's tough because we've got a lot of interest. So far, you know, no one has taken, you know, no one has laid their money on the line for our show.
Right.
But it's a drama comedy. It's a great show. It's called Odd Fellas, and it's based on it's kind of like a mix between Odd Couple and Goodfellas. So,
that's funny. It's called Odd Fellows.
Odd Fellas, like Goodfellas.
Odd Fellas.
Yeah. It's an amazing. I can't even get into it. It's a complicated drama. It's an amazing show that my partner really conceived of, Farhan Farzada. He was a script doctor on a bunch of big TV shows and stuff like that, and he saw me and Joe D'Onofrio, who actually played the young version of the young version of Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. And he was in the Bronx. He was in a bunch of movies. He's been in like 60, 70 movies. His face. And he and I were interacting at a film festival, and he always busts my chops, you know, and I always fall for it. And it looked like the scene out of with Ray Liotta and Joe Pesci, you know, when he goes, "What am I, a clown? I'm a clown," and the whole thing. Yeah, and I was sitting there falling for it like a dope, you know, and Farhan like, I got the show with We're Gonna Sell, and it was Odd Fellas.
Wow.
Yeah, because we played best friends.
Wow.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So Bill Sorvino, you know, thinking back, before you got into acting, Bill, did you ever think that you would be where you are today, that you would have the Golden Door International Film Festival, that you'd be an actor, and all these good things? Did you feel that this will be your life, or did you ever dream that but you said that the bug didn't hit you, you know, until you got together with Paul Sorvino and the family and whatever.
And, you know, the circumstances just happened to be right at that moment and in my life. You know, everything just kind of came together just at the right moment.
Yeah.
And it was literally, a few months after I had just shied away from the music scene that I was in. And, I just really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I never really wanted to go into acting because that was like my uncle's thing and Mira's thing, you know. I was a musician.
Right.
I'm a musician. I was persisting as a musician. I had some success. Uh-huh. I was really thinking I was going to make that really the big thing. And, you know, and then I just got frustrated and I was licking my wounds a little bit. And so at the time before that all happened, did I ever think I would be in, like where I am now in this moment?
Right.
I really don't know. I don't think I ever had that conception whatsoever. I think I never thought about acting. So until that moment.
Yeah.
So really, I don't think I had any good solid idea of where I would be moving forward, you know, anywhere. You know, even as a musician, I don't think I had a good solid feeling about where I would be with that even. I don't know.
What did you do before you became a musician? Because I'm thinking you stayed within that creative realm. Was there something you ever did that wasn't creative?
A different odd jobs, that, but you know,
okay.
I would consider like my main thing has always been creative, you know, only creative things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I wouldn't call it the acting bug. I think it was just more like, I think I found the thing that I really, really connect to. And so what happens the first day I was in William Esper studio, the very first day, I sat down, I saw all the people sitting around me, all the other students. And these people were exactly like me. Every single one of them was exact. We were all the similar kinds of people. I said, oh my God, where has this been all my life? And when the teacher started talking about it, I said, where has this been all my life? And boom, after that, everything kind of just started to, started to fall into place.
So this is what you were really meant to be, Bill.
Yes.
I mean, it was like the universe. Do you believe in the universe and, you know, what you put out, the universe will give you back all that stuff? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wasn't putting anything out specific, so I was getting nothing back. You see, so...
Well, you were putting out your creativity, though. You were putting out creativity.
I was, but I think I wasn't getting very, like, big success, even though I brushed with some success. I don't think I got the big success because I wasn't specific enough to my goals. I didn't have it in my heart because for some reason, maybe I knew there was a little piece of that wasn't right for me. And when acting was the thing that I saw and felt, I said, 100,000%, this is exactly what I need to be doing every day for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, many people don't get to do that, though, Bill, you know?
Yes, I didn't.
People
get
are still
to
trying to
moment.
Find out who they are, trying to catch on to their dreams, you know? So
it's an amazing, amazing thing to be able to feel that way. And I know how it feels either, you know, on both sides of the fence. And I suggest everyone find that thing and grab hold of it and just run with it as fast as you can.
That's right. Now, for people who are listening in, Bill, we've only got like three minutes left. People who are listening in who have a passion to do something, because a lot of people are like this. They have a passion to do something. Life happens. They have to raise their kids. Just, you know, this and that and the other. What would be your advice to them on following their passion, regardless of what it is?
I think that no matter what responsibilities have in your life, that all those responsibilities, your first responsibility is to yourself. Because if you don't make yourself happy and at one with the world, then you can never have a child that's raised with the best, most happy circumstances and example.
Wow.
You can't possibly make anyone else happy if you're not happy in your own heart. So you have to love yourself and take care of yourself, and then everything else will follow from that, and your happiness will be much, much higher than what you ever could think possible, because that's how I feel.
That is sound advice. There you go. So let us know. Now, what are you doing now?
Okay, so like I said, I'm in the middle of shooting a film called Who's Jenna? It's a film, it's a romantic comedy that it's also starring Joe D'Onofrio with also Vic DiBicchetto, who's a kind of a famous comedian, did a bunch of stuff with Gary Pastore. It's directed by Tom Baldinger. It's a great, great, great romantic comedy. Another film coming out this year, which I'm so proud of, it's called Mommy's Box, directed by Johnny Greenlaw. Myself and Johnny were the two stars, and it's coming out this year, and I really, 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 really am excited about that. I saw the start, and I am just in love with that film. It's Mommy's Box.
God.
Amazing film. Amazing. It'll be playing at the film festival.
Oh, really?
Special screen. Yeah, like a private special screening. Yep. You
very
can come.
Nice. So that's Bill Sorvino, the actor who, I don't know, you know what I'm thinking? Self-made man. That's what comes to mind, Bill. It really does. It was such a pleasure having you on today. I was so excited all week, and I'm saying, you got Bill Sorvino, all right. So I'm so happy that you came on. I'm so happy. that you did to people who, you know, who are following their passion? Because a lot of people, you know, I get emails or whatever when someone comments on that. So thank you so much, especially coming from you. And
my
I want to wish you, I want to wish you all the best, not that you need it. And I hope to see you at the film festival. I want to come there, Bill. It sounds exciting.
Absolutely. You're my guest. I'd love to have you there. And thank you so much. You're wonderful speaking with you.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio. That was actor Bill Sorvino. He has a lot going on, Golden Door International Film Festival. He has a new film coming out this year. Oh, God. What is the name of it again?
Mommy's Box.
Mommy's Box. Okay. So listen for that film coming out. And
Steps. Another one is called Steps. Shaquille O'Neal executive produced that one.
Okay. And Steps, he's in as well. And he is quite an actor. All right. Take care and have a wonderful rest of your day. Goodbye, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Mathis Media Hub production.